Well, hi again, Jonathan Doyle here. Welcome to part two. You've made it this far, and I hope you've really got some important ideas out of the stuff that I've already shared. But what I want to do now is really take you into what I think will really work. The real dynamic of what will confer a deep and powerful sense of masculine identity on all of us as we seek to discover the truth of who we really are.
All righty, round two. Grab a seat. One speaker famously said, the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. You know, it's amazing with our amazing technology that we still, most of the presentations we attend are like, ugh. All right, so what have we done? Identity is central to existence. If people get it wrong, if you live from a false one, it's a recipe for multiple levels of disaster, from global war to relationship breakdowns, to bad fathering, to all sorts of things. We want to understand identity. Massive cultural change, industrial revolution, divorce rates. And we've looked at the two common strategies of constructing identity or withdrawing into defensive behaviors. So we know what doesn't work. And what I want to do very quickly now is give you what might work. And I have been blessed in recent years to imbibe deeply from the rich springs of God Almighty's chosen game, golf. And I married very carefully, and my wife encourages me to play golf at least 4 days a week. And since I've had this foot injury, which some of you mightn't have seen, I can't run all the time. My ideas used to come when I ran, and now they come just being out on my own on the course. And I was out playing on Tuesday thinking about coming to be with you, and I thought, you know, what am I going to do here? And the revelation that I had was just really compelling for me. And I think we're onto something here. And what's the revelation is simply this, that whatever answer I would bring to you would have to come from Scripture. Why? Because on one level, you know what's great about Scripture is it is just the most extraordinary analysis of what it is to be human. From prostitutes to murderers, to great people of virtue. Show me a better analysis, apart maybe Shakespeare, of what it means to be human. So if you want to know what it is to be male or to be human, it's a great place to start. And secondly, what I want to say here is that Scripture is what? Scripture is fundamentally about identity. How? The entire damn thing, friends, is nothing other than God's self-revelation. This is who I am. Scripture is a story of identity, and the other aspect of it is God revealing a lot about us to ourselves. So here is the insight I wanted to share with you, and I'm going to suggest that there are a whole bunch of extraordinarily powerful masculine identity narratives in Scripture. And I think I'm onto something here. And I want to take you through a few. Number one, Abram. Abraham. I want you to picture Abraham with me, getting on in years. A drifter, really, ending up living in this place, Ur of the Chaldeans, thinking of maybe going somewhere else, but nothing much happening, friends. Men in this room know what that feeling's like. Nothing much happening. Doing the day-to-day. But I want you to picture Abraham with me each night. So a beautiful painting of this once. Just drifting outside the camp, sitting out on his own, staring at this massive vault of stars. Dogs barking, people starting to fall asleep. Night after night, he's just sitting out there. And then he encounters something. And who knows exactly what it would have appeared like, but something appeared to Abraham. But what did this something do? This something conferred identity. How do you know? Abraham, you are the father of many nations. You will go to a place that I will show. What just happened? Guess what, Abraham? A couple of seconds ago, you were an itinerant sheep herder. But you know what you are now, Abraham? You are what I tell you you are. You are the father of many nations, and nations will bless themselves through you. Instant identity change. Moses, identity narrative. Prince of Egypt, identity stripped from him in a millisecond. Flees into the wilderness, and all of a sudden, what is he? An itinerant sheep farmer. And then what happens? He encounters something. Moses, you will be, you are the bane of Pharaoh. You will set my people free. And if you read Exodus 3, what does Moses do for the rest of the chapter? No, seriously, come on. No, I know this other guy, and his name, he's a specialist in people emancipation. And he can go in, and we have a group of consultants that will come in too, and we're going to have a constructive dialogue and some conflict resolution workshops with the Pharaoh. But God's just there going, this is who you are. You are this. Some good news coming for everybody in the room. When Jesus emerges from the waters of the Jordan, there is a voice heard from heaven. Does the voice say this? Everybody, this is an important social teacher in first century Palestine with some very useful ideas on cohesion under Roman governance. Please give him your full attention. Of all the things that God could have said, all the possibilities, what does he say? This is my son, the beloved. Identity is conferred from the father to the son. And that narrative flows through the entire veins of our shared human experience. And those of you, many of you in this room, hurt like hell because your father could never do that. And I have a four-year-old boy. Every day of his life, this morning, I tell him who he is. Every morning, every day, you're good, you're strong, you're caring. You are, you are, you are. And most of you in this room have never been told who you are. There's some good news coming. Also, of course, Jesus goes out to the wilderness. What happens in the wilderness? The identity is challenged. Are you really that? Is that who you really are? Last couple of quick ones. Peter. Identity transformation from fisherman to fisher of men. What does Jesus do? You are Kephas. You are Kephas. You're not Simon, son of Jonah. You're Kephas. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not hold out against it. What does he do? Identity transformation. Encounter with Christ, identity transformation in a millisecond. St. Paul goes from being the persecutor of the way to being the apostle to the Gentiles by an encounter with something that transferred his identity in a millisecond. Almost done. So if this scriptural principle is true, and the great thing about it is it doesn't have to be my opinion, you can just see this narrative flowing through. The father conferring identity, the father conferring identity, the father. And many of you here carry wounds the size of Texas. You're just like your father. You're an embarrassment to me, son. Why can't you ever? Why do you always screw up? So when men run scoreboards, am I okay, Dad? Let me balance that carefully. A lot of our desires and drives come out of a really good place too. So friends, my sense for most of us as men is that we will never encounter this sense of identity. We will live our days out in uncertainty, confusion, and it doesn't have to be that way. So here's what might work now. How are we going to actually do this? As I was working through the preparation, do you know what the one thing I kept noticing come up in these identity narratives? What's the one thing that keeps seeming to happen over and over again? Yes, conferring of identity, but question, question, question. Where does it happen? Over and over again, it happens in the wilderness. Abraham and Moses in the wilderness. Jesus driven into the wilderness. You know, Peter, at least Peter, in a natural environmental setting. And St. Paul's interesting on the road to Damascus in the wilderness. And what you, many of you wouldn't know is we seem to think what happened to Paul is what? Knocked off the horse, went into town, and, you know, clocked on for the next shift of preaching to the Gentiles at 5 a.m. the next morning, reporting for duty, sir. No. 3 years. He spent 3 years in the desert of Arabia. And you know what? From the best scholarship, do you know what I think he actually did for 3 years? Yes, he was given some formation, but essentially for 3 years, I think he sat in the desert of Arabia and just did this. What the hell just happened? The encounter with God was so utterly reality-changing that, you know, John, what's his name, American preacher used to say that he just needed 3 years to digest it. But here's what I'm getting at, friends. All of these things happen in the wilderness. Jesus experiences conferring of identity and then goes into the wilderness. Paul's encounter. So here's what I'm going to suggest. You know, here's the meat. Here's the strategy. It's one thing to listen to a speaker and get some ideas. I want to give you a strategy now as we wrap up. God wants to confer this identity on you. You need to discover who you are. I don't care whether you're 17 or 70. You need to discover in the depths of your being. You need to hear him tell you who you are. Because until you really hear that, you are vulnerable to all sorts of defensive patterns and constructing patterns. Imagine for a second what it would be like to live from a place of deep certainty in who you really are. It'd be joyful. We don't do joy. Freud famously said, I'll believe in the resurrection the moment I see it on the faces of the Christians. Timothy Dolan, who I think is one of the greatest Catholic communicators on the planet, Archbishop of New York, he said, we've got to do joy. Watch him. He just does joy brilliantly. If you hear this word confirmed on you over time, you'll be coming from a different place. So friends, here's what we're going to do. You need to meet God in the wilderness and ask him to tell you who you really are. Not who your father said you were. Not who your mother said you were. Not who your wife says you are. Not who your work colleagues say you are. Not who I say you are. The special word that he has for you in one African tribe, they don't name the child. He's given to the father and the father takes him for 4 days just after birth and it's the father's job to discover his real name. To get the essence of the child and tell him who he is. The day before my son Aiden was born, we didn't have a name and I was praying, reading the office, and I had a big thing for the Celtic saints. We named him after Saint Aiden, the little fire. And for his initiation into manhood at a time that I will specify, I will be flying him to the island of Lindisfarne, where Saint Aiden is buried on the right-hand side of that altar. And I will stand there with him at the end of a long process and say, son, this is who you were named for. It was revealed to me before you came into this world that this was the name for you. And I am just a shadow of that greater Father who will confer a yet deeper identity on him if I do my job properly. You have to discover him in the wilderness. What does that mean, Jonathan? Do we finally get to do the whole men's thing, run through the forest and hug people? Yes, after all this time. Bus is leaving in 10 minutes. No. Here's the pitch. This is interesting. It's an original idea. We live in an incredibly technologically saturated society. iPhones, Crackberries, a whole bit, friends. We are all utterly tuned in all the time. I want to tell you about the wilderness. You must go now and seek the wilderness of silence and solitude. You must do this. And you can do it in so many different ways. One of the great spiritual writers, one of the fathers of the desert, said this to a young monk. He said, just this is one sentence. He said, go to your cell. Your cell will teach you everything. Another translation says, go to the silence. The silence will teach you everything. Every day of my life now, it's easier for me because I'm a chronic introvert. I ruthlessly now seek silence and solitude every single day, and I make it a ruthless priority. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it's longer. But But even in just the last few weeks, I'm just starting to put myself in this place where I go, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. Story told us in Francis that he would sit out at night watching the stars and he would be heard whispering over and over again. Listen to these words. Who are you, O God? And who am I that you love me? Who are you, O God? And who am I that you love me? Every day on the way back from the golf course, you know what I do now? I grab my phone and throw it in the back because I can't trust myself. Not with that. And I just started to drive in silence. I reckon this could take years. Go to the wilderness. Last thing, that this confirmation of identity is also going to involve an encounter with Christ. You find Christ in the sacraments. No wonder that male identity has gone missing at the same time as the complete abandonment of the sacraments. Woke up at 3 a.m. yesterday, worked for a few hours, went for a bike ride at 5, raced home, grabbed Aiden, went to Mass. Anything special happened? No. Just sitting there in the silence. Who am I? I'd like to know. So friends, whether you're 17 or 70, please, that's all you have to do is begin that journey. And you don't have to do much, you just got to turn up. Sit in the silence and the solitude. Who am I? Who am I really? Learn to love the question. The stakes are high. If you don't find out an answer to that question, if you don't let him tell you, you are going to carry it out in your marriage, in your work, in your defensive behaviors. The stakes are really high. Two quotes to finish. Dorothy Rose said this: some people manage for all their lives to put off facing the reality of their situation, steadfastly denying to themselves that things are not as they wish them to be. Are things as you wish them to be right now? How many of you could sit here and go, everything is just the way I want? They never become who they might have been. They never know who they are. Is it ironic, or is it a coincidence, that men alive concept of Irenaeus, the glory of God? Man fully alive. Finish with this. I want you to love this question. Forget everything else I say today. You won't remember a lot of it. Please get the audio, listen to it. I want to leave you with some free stuff, a talk that I gave. I want to give you a copy of that. Grab cards, email, Twitter, Facebook, whatever is useful to you. But if you forget everything else, just remember this one thing. Love the question. Love the question. I can tell you where the answer is. The answer is in the solitude and the silence. And it'll hurt like hell. It'll be, oh, it's too hard. I'm too busy. Jonathan doesn't understand what my life. The great writer and poet Rainer Maria Rilke wrote to his son when his son had left to study. And as I ask you to love the question and be patient as you seek the answer, because the stakes are high, it's bigger than you, others need you to find this answer. Here are the words that he wrote to his son. I beg you to have patience with everything unresolved in your heart, and try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. Don't search for the answers which could not be given you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now, perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without ever noticing it, live your way into the answer. God bless.
Well, there you go. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Thanks so much for listening to this presentation on masculine identity. I'd love it if you could share it with friends, send them the link, post it on Twitter, Facebook, your own sites, whatever you like. But it'd be great to see it really shared with as many people as possible. If you'd like me to come and speak at an event of yours, please send me an email through the website. It'd be great to start a discussion with you. I really do hope that you found some important principles. principles here. This is a time in history, in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our families, in our businesses, in all the things that we do as men, where we really need to discover the true sense of who we are, living out of a much deeper sense of identity and purpose that God wants to confer on us. I'm Jonathan Doyle. Thank you for the privilege of your time, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.